Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
I mean, has there ever been a sport with such a disparity? We're literally talking about, like, destroying 100-year business relationships for $20 million here and this, and then the fans are fighting over the display at the Dollar General.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
Unbelievable. Because that would be better. Sir, your dog is driving. You let your dog drive. Or you're drunk.
And SI's Pat Forty.
And I've got all these fans coming back saying, how can you turn down an extra $20 million to go to the Big 12? Because, A, you're not going to be good at football, period. Quit talking about being good at football.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, and it's a false alarm. ACC's not breaking up.
False alarm Wednesday. About Thursday.
As of 4:49 Eastern.
Yeah, check Wednesday. Back in 24 hours. See how it's going.
The Alliance. a lot of talk this week. Early on, there was some heated comments from some athletic directors, particularly out of Tallahassee. There was discussion of the Magnificent Seven schools looking to get out of that. We talked a lot about this on the early week show, trying to maybe get out of the league. If you get enough, if they got eight, would they be able to break the ACC, dissolve the league? There's all sorts of different talk. Could they get out of this thing? Peace is they hugged it out. Peace is at hand temporarily, at least. Everyone's saying they're committed, according to Jim Phillips, the commissioner. It does appear that they're working towards a deal where they're calling it the Success Initiative, where you make the college football playoff, you get all the money or a higher percentage share than probably before, where you would divide that up. That should be a way to help the teams that are doing well and could be some funding. And according to some of these ideas, it's sort of the realization, look, we're never going to have as much as the SEC, but, you know, do we need it? I think that's a big, big message. Is just spending more, is that the most important thing? Or can you just spend enough? So that's how I saw it. Ross, what's the latest you've heard?
Everybody emerged from meetings thrilled and happy and together. And united and together forever. That's what I gathered. When in reality, of course, and I think Pat has a column up about this, is as soon as an invitation comes from the Big Ten or SEC, which I don't expect that soon, to any one of these schools, they are not united any longer. Because I think there are some programs in that league that even with the new revenue distribution model, know or believe, or their lawyers believe that they have a way out of this, the way out of the grant of rights, and they can leave. They just need a home, and that's the issue. So this will be something to watch. You know, monthly, certainly yearly, for the next X amount of months or years. To see where the ACC is, because I think this revenue distribution model change is only going to appease these schools for a little while. You know, you're talking about a $20 to $30 to $40 million gap, and you're talking, you know, at best per year, maybe a $5 to $7 million increase. Mike Alford, Florida State Athletic Director, mentioned $10 million if you hit the jackpot. On the new revenue distribution success model, but I think that's probably going to be unusual. So $5 to $7 million a year extra when you have a gap of 30 plus million. Untenable, a word that many of them use. But one thing that did happen this week with the seven situation becoming public, I think it got them moving faster on the revenue distribution thing. And it got them talking pretty honestly, I heard, on Monday, during Monday's conversation. There were a lot of people in the room that did not know about the seven. I don't know if all the other seven, you know, didn't know, or just maybe four or five of them, but there were people who, ADs and schools who who did not know about the seven. And to, you know, it was interesting to see some of the comments come out Monday after a story Monday morning and then Brett Murphy's tweet. You know, there was like one AD, I think, that told ESPN anonymously that there was zero credence to the seven. And then not just a couple hours later, Whit Babcock, the Virginia Tech athletic director, went on the record actually with David Teal and basically confirmed everything. Like, yeah, we were getting together. We kind of pursued other things. Yeah, we just felt like we had to. But, and they talked extensively about it Monday in the meeting. And there was some frustration and anger. And I think some were even maybe apologetic to the other seven. So it got intense, but it seems like the whole seven thing is fizzled out. And I think it really fizzled out in the weeks preceding. But now that it's out, it was out public and talked about it at meetings. You got to think that's fizzled out. But what hasn't fizzled out is, you know, the Florida States and in Miami's and Clemson's being pretty anxious about the situation and ready to potentially bolt if there's a home.
Yeah, I think this was the mother of all 7-on-7 scrimmages here. We had the the wandering seven and the blindsided seven, so to speak, although I'm not sure everybody was in that group was blindsided by this, but some might have been. And you know, that this is where the ACC is. They did not dissolve, erupt, melt, fracture in half, but they also didn't fix anything necessarily. They took some steps, but this was interesting. I talked to a couple people in the league who mentioned this today. That, you know, there was discussion like, you know, we need to put out a statement of unity amongst everybody. And the group finally came back and said, yeah, let's not fake it. And the quote that was given to me by one ACC source, we're not unified. We're unified until someone offers a school more to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is going to grab it. So kudos to the ACC for at least telling the truth about where things stand. They're temporarily and situationally unified, but that's only until an offer comes along that somebody feels like they can accept and get out of the long-term grant of rights. So I think, Ross, to your point, you're exactly right that this did get everything on the table and get people moving faster towards a different revenue distribution, a success-based, merit-based revenue distribution. That will not be even, that I think is much more agreeable than just saying, well, these schools are more in demand from ESPN and from TV, so they should get more. It's much more if you prove it on the field, if you make the playoff, if you make a Final Four, a deep run in the NCAA tournament, you get more money. I'd be okay with that if I were the ACC at this point.
Never really made all that sense that they share everything.
Yeah.
You know, conference units and stuff. I think they tried to do that as a PR move so that like one kid missing a free throw, you know, wasn't a, I remember back when it was units, right? NCAA tournament units. So they didn't, and they started averaging them over 6 years and things like that. Cause they didn't want one free throw to be worth $500,000 for a school.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad PR. And you go, well, this kid hit the free throw where they win the game. Where's the $500,000 going, or the million, or whatever? So they kind of it was a weird construct that was designed to cover up what was really going on, which is that free throw is valuable. That changes. That field goal now matters. Mm-hmm. That free throw matters for your school. And yeah, I mean, so that makes sense to me. I think, you know, look, they did get it out on the table, and you know, it was like. It's like that you thought you were in the ACC group thread and you noticed there wasn't a whole lot of activity. It probably means they moved to Slack or something. And
side texting.
Yeah. Boston College is like, why there's been a lot of activity on this lately. What's but yeah, you'll get people moving real quick when all of a sudden that word breaks and you start staring into the abyss and you're Syracuse and BC and Wake and these places going, what's happening here? You know, and people are throwing out, well, you're going back to the Big East or something like that. So this is a power play. But yeah, the fundamental issue, And it's really a fundamental issue for everybody, because there will come a point soon enough where someone's going to lay out, hey, the SEC's great, the Big Ten's great, but listen, Ohio State, and you get your guys, Alabama, you get your guys, and we merge, and why are you dragging along these other schools?
Yeah.
You know, why we're building this thing. Why do we have two schools in Mississippi?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dan.
I know. But I mean, if you're looking at straight business, this is what these guys are doing. Now, I would argue, well, there's a cultural relevance. There's a regional there is some value, but that's not exactly how TV sees it. And so, you know, that's your point. I don't, you know, that, so could that, I'm not saying it's soon, but believe me, they can draw up a pretty quick thing with 25, 30, you know, NFL 2, and, mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you go. So everyone's as faithful as their options. I think it was like Chris Rock or somebody said. And so, yeah, Clemson and Florida State, they're, you know, North Carolina, Virginia, these places would have very attractive to a league. Let me ask this. Let me play devil's advocate on this, and then I want to get to this other question. But untenable that the other schools make 20 million more, 30 million more. Why is it untenable?
Well, I think that over the course, the way it's been explained to me, over the course of, let's say it's on the low end, and let's say the SEC and Big Ten are making $20 million more a year than every ACC school. So that's $20 million, and over the course of, say, 5 years,
$100 million.
But you could maybe even stretch it to 10 years, because the ACC deal is 13 years long, right? With left on it. Yeah, you're talking about, right, a significant amount of money to be spent, right, on facilities, coaching salaries. But here's the big one: athlete pay. When it comes down to it,
okay. Until then.
We know, we've talked to this show before, right? NIL, athlete compensation, this is an evolution, and the next evolution is some kind of revenue sharing, direct pay, something coming. And I had an ACC coach who was sitting in his office this past spring who said, that's the real concern for us. It's not that I might lose my running backs coach to Georgia because they doubled his salary, although that's a concern in itself, but the big concern is what's going to happen when we start having some kind of pay system and they're making that much more than we are.
Yeah. Under the presumption the NCAA would not cap those things.
Well, yeah. That's the question. Is it capable? You know, how there's a lot of legal wrangling that will go on between
can
now
you
and
salary
then,
cap sure. Without a collective bargaining. I get all that. But
right.
Under the present rules, is it really impossible? Okay. Iowa can spend $20 million more dollars than Clemson. They can't move the campus next to Atlanta. Like, right. There's advantages to each and every school. These guys are always whining about money and telling you what they can't do. I'm just wondering, is it really that bad?
I'm with you. Look, it is two things inherently: is excuse making and asking for more, which is what everybody in college sports does. So it doesn't preclude you from winning championships. I don't think when Clemson was winning championships in 2016-18, it had the highest football budget in the country. I don't know, but I don't think Florida State had the highest budget in the country in 2013 when they won a championship. You know, usually it's Texas and Texas A&M and Ohio State that are spending the most money. Have any of them won championships lately? Not that I know of. So that doesn't – and Jim Phillips did bring that up. That was one of his points in his talk today was, you know, I don't see any studies directly correlating revenue with winning titles. So you know, the Big Ten was making a lot of money, hadn't won jack in quite a long time in football and men's basketball.
That's true. That would be actually a fascinating study to take, you know, the major sports, take football and men's basketball and throw in women's basketball and maybe even throw in like a baseball or something and take those sports in and kind of see where the champions and maybe where the finalists stacked up budget wise in the country. That would kind of be fascinating. I mean, I'm guessing, though, the majority would be, you know, in the top 15-ish, 20 in budgets in the country. But, you know, I was just on the phone with someone who mentioned, you know, Wake Forest has kicked butt in football the last several years in that league. Kicked butt with the kicked Miami's butt, right? Kicked UNC, kicked all, you know, Florida State's butt on several occasions. And obviously, you know, their donation dollars and all that stuff that's not the distribution amount that where they all get the same is much lower than all those other schools. So it can be done. I think they're looking at the long term down the road when you start talking about hundreds of millions of dollars of difference, especially if you have some kind of athlete pay system. But I will say there are roster sizes, right? I mean, all these schools can't get all the best players. They only get 25 to 30 of them.
Playing time. There's too much talent. There's more talent than the players than 20 schools.
Yeah.
Yep. There's too many good players. Mm-hmm. Anytime these guys are all agreeing on something about money, be wary. It's my experience. Yeah. Yes, money matters. Yes, but it does not. If it did, if you had that study, then it, yeah, does Ohio State have the biggest? This will have 36 teams.
Yeah.
And their inherent advantage is not that they spend more money. It's that until recently, they were the only Power Five in like the sixth biggest state in the country that plays tons of football and basketball, produces, you know, right? Like, that advantage is more important than the money.
Yeah.
Is Georgia spending, getting it? They got all organized. Yeah, absolutely. But they also are sitting as the one school, no offense, Georgia Tech, in this monstrous state with all this talent. It's not, does Gonzaga spend enough money in basketball? I know it's basketball, but the money, they're always talking about the money. They sound like those like old shady televangelists. I need another $100 or you're going to hell. And they use non-competitiveness and this fear of recruiting in everything as the way to get fans to freak out. We got to have better facilities. And you go, I've told this story before, but like you go to Michigan State football. Like I remember being at Michigan State football facility one day. And then the next day I flew to New England. I'm at the Patriots. And it's like going from a you know, the Taj Mahal to a high school. Patriots have one locker room, a little weight room off the side, and a field in back in a bubble when there's like a tornado going to hit. Otherwise, Belichick's out there in the freaking rain playing. And you're like, gee, I don't know how the Patriots managed to even run a player over here. How do they, like, this was, you couldn't coach football here. You know, it's, and so, yeah, you got this and you got this waterfall. At the end of the day, it's how close am I to mom and dad to get guys to the pros? You know, facilities are just, it's, they used to have student, remember, it used to be the athlete dorm. Then they banned that. So then it just, then they've created these facilities that are basically the dorm. You just hang, well, we need a barber shop. Like how much is this really? Give us more, give us more, give us more. Like the idea that you would throw everything away for more money, including a competitive path to victory, sounds like a bean counter making the decision.
Yeah.
Is it really better? Was Rutgers having more fun when they were competitive and trying to win in the Big Ten or when they're losing 70-7 in the big, in the Big East?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. TCU looked like they had a hell of a lot of fun last year.
I was just going to bring up TCU, another school that is certainly like nowhere near spending the most money on football in the state of Texas, and played in the championship game last year and won the Big 12, a league in which the University of Texas competed. Do you remember John Calipari coming out after losing to St. Peter's with their dilapidated gym and no facilities, whatever, and John Calipari saying, well, we need a better practice facility.
Need a better practice facility.
Really? Really?
That was funny.
That's
nowhere to practice.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
Yeah. Already didn't have every single imaginable advantage over St. Peter's.
I mean, basketball, yeah. Forget it. I don't even want to hear it in basketball.
Yeah.
FAU's in there. I mean, forget it. Right. It's just garbage. But in we're going to go to football. They use the same. It's the same thing every time. We need more money. Where they're constantly panicked, and it kind of makes sense. You go, we're going to lose those recruits. And you go, you know what? What if we just get our own recruits? You know what? We got enough.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, like they were lifting weights 40 years ago at these places and stuff. And then you gold, and a lot of the money is gold plating sports that no one cares about. Pat, I mean, I hate to get back into this, but some of it's like, what are you spending all this money on? Like, some we're talking about seismic things. We are going to blow up the Atlantic Coast Conference, right? You could have North Carolina give up on Duke and NC State to chase 20 more million to compete in what?
No.
You're not winning the football title. It probably ain't happening.
Right.
To be what? Your basketball program needs to spend more? No. You know what you got? You got Michael freaking Jordan. You still call up people and they all go, I'll go to Carolina. They're not going to Carolina and going, oh, wait a minute. That place has got two waterfalls. And you, I don't know. And I just see these massive decisions made and fear mongering and this and going, we got to do this. And you go, for what? Are you going to win more games? How is every SEC team not undefeated in the non-conference?
Right. They should never lose. Texas A&M, with its budget, lost to Appalachian State last year.
Should never lose. They should be winning at everything. And I hate this thing where it just becomes accepted. That's just I don't know. Believe me, I'll get ADs. No, you got to understand. We're going to be able to afford this or that. You got enough dough.
Yeah. Well, how about this one?
The Dallas Cowboys got that star of Texas practice facility, and the Patriots got a bubble.
Yeah. When was the last time Dallas won a Super Bowl?
Right. You know what the difference was? You know, now it's a different, right? How do you get Tom Brady? I think they coach him up all right. Go ahead, Ross.
I'm going to give you guys one guess on what the most valuable or profitable, highest revenue generating, whatever you want to put it, college athletic department has been for roughly the last 10 years. One guess.
Ohio State.
Texas.
Okay.
Texas. Here we go. In Texas, here's their football record. 8-5, 5-7, 7-3, 8-5, 10-4, 7-6, 5-7, 5-7, 6-7. There you go.
Yep.
How about that?
Yep.
And basketball's no better.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Basketball's no better. They built a whole new stadium. And here's the thing.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
And that's, forget the money.
Yeah.
Texas has all the other advantages. They're the flagship university of
in the state of Texas.
Probably the most, not per capita, but sheer numbers, talent developing state in the entire country. And they're in a million person growing rich ass city.
Yep.
And they can't win. So that's my thing. Like, okay, we're going to make more money. But I just said, why is the only good programs not in the Big Ten and the SEC? Because they got all the money. How could anybody else possibly? I don't believe that variation is one-to-one. There are other great things to sell. The fanciness of the facilities and this coach, the value of these coaches are completely overblown. I'm not talking about the head coach, but some of these staffs, they hire a guy $2 million, they fire him after the season, the defense sucks. I just I just don't see it. And I hate that conventional wisdom is, well, we got to destroy everything so we can make a couple more bucks.
We've talked about it before, but somehow schools have convinced a fairly large number of their fans that this is the case, that we need to win the revenue race, period. Doesn't matter. Well, you know, we'll get around to winning on the field, but we got to win the revenue race. I mean, I wrote the UConn column Monday. We talked about it Monday. I wrote the UConn column, I guess, Tuesday. And I've got all these fans coming back saying, how can you turn down an extra $20 million to go to the Big 12? Because you're not going to be good at football, period. Quit talking about being good at football. Be good at basketball. Play in the Northeast. Recruit in the Northeast. Win national championships. And don't talk about, if we can just go play in Lubbock and in Provo, man, wait till you see what we can do. They had four pretty good years in a span of garbage. And now all of a sudden, if we can just get into the Big 12, look
out. In the old Big East, where you had a fighting chance.
Right. Yes.
You had a fighting chance when you were playing the other schools in that. Yeah, I don't know. I know they're all going to say the exact same thing. But, man, whenever they all say the same thing about money, it's just, I don't know.
Look out.
How much money?
Watch your wallet.
Watch your wallet, man.
Well, and it's
you're
the
all
same...
going to burn in hell unless I get another 100 this week. And then I got to get on my private jet with my mistress. gotta have more money here. You know what? I'm going to destroy all the traditions we have. I'm going to destroy the fabric of this sport so we get 20 million more bucks. And maybe, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Virginia, if you go to the SEC? Finish in the same damn spot you were before.
Oh, at best.
At best. What's the point? I don't buy it. I don't think like UCLA is really going to enjoy this.
Oh, no.
I don't think Nebraska's ever really enjoyed it. I think a lot of these schools aren't going to enjoy it. I don't buy it. But anyway, I can't remember.
I think there's a fear. I think there's a fear, too, of being left behind. Like being left behind in this race to get into the top 30 or 40 that's going to break off in 10 years and start some semi-professional association because they have so much money to spend and so much money to spend on athletes. So there's this, I think there is a fear of not being a program that's
they're going to cut you. If they go to 30, brother, they're going to cut you.
Yeah.
And look, Florida State's all talking. They're all talking big right now. And that's fine. They had one 10-win season in a crap ACC last year.
And
do you get
10
wins if you're in the SEC East? You getting those 10 wins? Yeah. Does anyone want to come to your games when you're 6-6 every year?
Hey, it's why Bobby Bennett turned down the SEC invite in them back in 1990. Yeah. The FSU, they didn't.
Yes.
They didn't want to. Yeah, they didn't want to. Instead of going 9-3, they much preferred to go 11-1.
And look what Bobby Bowden did for that school.
Yeah. Two or three championships after that. Yeah.
Yeah. And made it this big thing. And I don't know.
I think you're right on the long game of this is like, A, employment is coming. We're going to need a lot of money to pay these guys. And B, when this thing starts whittling down, are we on the ship or are we off the ship? But what Dan is saying is also right, that they'll decide who's on the ship, and it's going to be the bluest of the blue bloods if it comes to that. And it's going to be those folks making the decision. Virginia ain't getting on a top 30 ship.
If it comes down to, okay, you say, well, Alabama would never leave the SEC and link up with Ohio State and Michigan, where Georgia, these schools are never going to do it. Or if this same concept, you can't compete for the title if you stick in your spot, they're going to forget Mississippi even exists.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio State, and I mean, they have a, what was it, $10 billion like consortium of shared research grants or something. I mean, some astounding number in the Big Ten. And even then, you know, they've got that linked, but I don't know they got that in the SEC. You'll be like, hey, man, we got to do what we got to do. And there's another Slack channel. There's always another Slack channel.
Always another side text.
Yeah. Always a side text thread. I don't know. What else on this? What else we got going on with your alignment? It feels like it's bubbling.
Yeah. Pac-12. Just some administrators came out this week and said it'll be several more months until they come up with a media rights deal, which it already seems like it's been forever, and that would push inside of like a year, potentially push inside of a year of a new deal actually coming to fruition. And I think the three things that would do, I mean, maybe they just flat need the time to make something happen, but it does increase the negative recruiting, so to speak, against the Pac-12 from the Big 12 and anybody else that wants to weaken that league. It breeds anxiety amongst the members. It adds to speculation. Nature abhors a vacuum. We all fill the vacuum with stuff, including this wonderful podcast. And it also leaves San Diego State in a more precarious position because, as Ross detailed in his story, their exit fee triples after July 1st, which could push them back, I guess, a whole other year. Where that would stand, I don't know. But it's problematic for a number of reasons if they do. If that's what they got to do, fine. But it indicates they're not getting things done at the rate they had hoped to get things done.
Yeah, this has been a slow crawl. We can go back to the fall. They were in the exclusive negotiating window with ESPN and then Fox, their current partners. That was in August or September, I believe. That came up, and they went to the open market. While they were in the open market, the Big 12 rushed in and kind of really, really hurt them by getting a deal done with ESPN Fox. And then we heard that Pac-12 deal was supposed to be announced during the football championship week. That was the first week of December. Then it was basketball tournament. That was in March. Then it was at the end of April. Then it was at the end of May. And now we're looking at the end, beyond that date, that San Diego State date of June 30th. So it can't be good. I thought it was interesting. I got a little intel this morning about the delays. We had heard in Phoenix, I think I maybe said on the show that, you know, ESPN is still involved and they have a lot of other things going on. Right, they have the layoff. They're in the middle of layoffs. They're negotiating the NBA deals coming open. They have WWE, UFC, I think, situation right now they're involved in, and they're just being more selective. And the Pac-12 is last in line. The SEC did their deal. The Big 10, and the Big 12 came in the market. They're last kind of in line. And the basket seems kind of maybe not empty, but it doesn't have as many eggs as did previously. But the nugget I got this morning was interesting, and it was that NBC was maybe more heavily involved than people had thought with the Pac-12. And then for whatever reason, over the last few weeks, 6 to 8 weeks or so, NBC pulled out. Now, I don't know. I really don't. I haven't vetted this. You know, I haven't written about it. But I thought it was interesting. It was told to me by somebody I would think that would know. And that was pretty interesting. That would explain why they thought things were going to get done in March and in April and May. And now they're in a little bit of a bind. If NBC went deep with them, which it sounds like they went deeper than maybe we all thought, and then it didn't come through to fruition. So now who's left? I don't know. I mean, ESPN's involved, but they're not going to be – I doubt they're going to be some – primary, but you never know. I mean, they certainly want that late night spot, you would think. But it's probably some streamer, which is going to be an issue visibility wise for some presidents in that league. They may get the money, but the visibility, as we've said on the show before, is the real concern.
All right. So let's shift gears here to another way to make money. Found this interesting. University of Tennessee is proposing a latest school to talk about putting out an entertainment district around Neyland Stadium. We've seen this in a lot of pro sports, NBA teams, NHL. You see the fans gather outside the stadium now. They gobble up the areas around it. There's, you know, they don't want to just be the destination. They want to own the whole area, profit off the money inside and outside stadium. So obviously college sports get some of that with campus and parking and all that. This proposes a 12-story building, a 12-story hotel, and I don't know what, entertainment space built between Neyland Stadium and the Tennessee River. Obviously, there's a highway down there, but this thing would overlook the stadium. They'd have a party deck up on top. You'd have certain probably suites and maybe an entertainment deck outside the stadium looking in. That would be obviously highly coveted spot to overlook, and it'd be near basketball. So you'd have all these different things that they could put in there and do different things. This has been proposed in a few other areas, but do you guys see the markups of this at Tennessee? I know Iowa State's got one. Others are trying to, you kind of see it at Baylor in certain ways. Some different places are building this up, but this is the most ambitious with an actual, let's just build our own hotel, which will gouge people on in game weekends, not just the Marriott downtown. Like, let's get it. You want to make more money? There's a way.
Yep.
You guys see this stuff? It's pretty sweet looking.
Yeah. New threat to the Marriotts and the Airbnbs in downtown Knoxville for sure. It does look like it could be phenomenal. Could be really cool. If you're a Tennessee fan and you've got money, it looks like a great way to spend a weekend. And yeah, it is a concept we have seen more, I guess, in pro cities and everything. As a matter of fact, the night before the championship game, the members of this very podcast convened at LA Live outside of Staples. And we watched Wetzel buy a bratwurst from a street vendor. It might have been beer consumed.
For me.
I bought it for you. You had
yeah. It was tasty.
Did I eat it?
No, I did.
Remember. Oh, okay. Oh,
it was me, wasn't it? Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I snuck food into into the bar, kind of, over the fence.
Yeah. It was a long night. There was old fashions. There was a lot of stuff going on that night. But anyway, no, I mean, it seems like a natural concept, especially to me in a college town that's like we're going for the weekend. It's a destination. It may be a long drive for some people to get there, maybe out remote. And if you can turn it into your own kind of almost self-enclosed or certainly your own revenue generating stream there, hey, maybe we wouldn't have to hear about we need more money from people for the third and three analyst. Actually just generate that money this way.
Why sell a parking spot for $100? You sell the room for $1,000.
Yeah.
I visited Knoxville a couple months ago. I was there for something, and I was sitting in Danny White's office, the athletic director, and it has windows that look out onto Neyland Stadium and their basketball arena. And I was like, I was looking at the basketball arena, and it's not like the most beautiful sight from the outside. It's grayish and kind of concrete and
boxy.
And like, man, you got a, what are you going to do with that thing, basically? And then he launched into telling me about what they have planned, what they announced earlier today about this, this deal where they're going to build the entertainment district. You know, at the time it was supposed to be, you know, around that general area, Neyland in the basketball arena. And I think onto it, he mentioned, you know, the basketball arena on the back of the basketball arena, knocking down some areas and opening it up to the river as well. That would be a totally probably separate like renovation. It's funny. The game is getting more professionalized, obviously, with the players and big salaries for coaches and all that stuff. And we're going to see, you know, the facilities have gotten professionalized. They've gotten nice. Some of these facilities are nicer than the NFL facilities. As Dan even mentioned earlier, like these college facilities are even nicer. You're just seeing more corporate, right? College going more corporate, more luxurious. I kind of hope we don't lose the college charm of a campus with these big gaudy buildings and luxurious boutique hotels. That's my only concern. But there is, and you guys know, you both probably have visited Knoxville quite a bit, there is a riverfront property there, valuable, beautiful riverfront property that is just sitting there, really. I think the only in that area, the only really like bar on the river is Calhoun's right there. Calhoun's on the river. And like, other than that, there's not much right there in that span of campus. So this could be really cool, but hopefully they do it in a way that doesn't take away from the kind of the college campus feel that that place and others have.
Ross, we need the money. We need the money. We can't have tradition and charm.
Fall behind.
We
cannot
fall behind. We got to have the third and three analysts. So, you
how
know.
Are we going to win if we don't have this?
Yeah. Yep.
You guys with your picnic lunches and stuff. No. No. We can't grill your own food. No, we'll sell you the food.
That's the problem, too, with tailgates, right? Tailgates have gotten more corporate at a lot of places, and it's kind of sad.
I mean, this is, but yeah, no, their motivation is money, which is funny because they don't own the team. It just goes to the school. And really, it's their spending that's out of control, but they're stuck. I'm not just making total light of it. It's a total conundrum. You know, they're sitting there going, I got to do this so that I don't fall behind. And then you go, well, look at all these lost money over here. But we got to spend it, right? What was it? Somebody, one of the ADs was telling us about how they approved a fourth baseball coach, right?
Oh, yeah.
Full-time baseball coach. So everyone's got to have one now and just got to add a guy. And it's like, how did you guys manage to play a game with only three baseball coaches? So one more guy to call the gambler in Ohio and tell him what's going on. It's like, well, now we got four baseball coaches. Really? Was the game like suffering with only three? Was that it?
If you don't have your small ball coach to go with your long ball coach to go with your fielding coach to go with your pitching
recruiting.
That's right.
All of a sudden, no one will want to play baseball at our school because they'll say, well, you only got three coaches over there and we got four. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be a baseball coach without making six figures. I don't know. Speaking of recruiting, Dylan Raiola. I always say it right. The spelling gets me. I've known Raiola. Our number one ranked recruit quarterback from Arizona has verbally committed to the University of Georgia 1 year after the Bulldogs missed out on a bunch of QBs, including last year's prize recruit, Arch Manning. Raiola was once committed to Ohio State. Now he's heading to Georgia. And the sub-loss is that he didn't go to Nebraska, where his dad, Dominic, played, and his uncle is on the staff, and Matt Rhule is there. And they had a shot. I think he visited six times. He seemed to like it up there, but in the end, hard to say no to the two-time defending national champs who did not sign it was a little bit of a little clearance there. Maybe it's different if he gets Arch or whatever, but thoughts on this? Number one player signs with number one team or commits to number one team is not exactly a man-bites-dog headline, but Pat, your thoughts on this and what it means for Georgia, what it means for Nebraska.
Yeah, the Nebraska fallout's probably more interesting, certainly more comical via the great message board genius's Twitter account. He plucked some of the spleen venting from inside Nebraska. Let's see, we had one guy, we didn't want him anyway, too much of a pro style QB. Yeah. Sure. It's not good luck to him. Screw him. Hope the worst for him. Sorry. Front running coward. That was another one. And then it was my favorite. the self-loathing here. We are the fat kid with acne and glasses that got to hang out with the head cheerleader because her dad knew our dad. Granted, we are hitting the gym, getting contacts, and using Clearasil, but she is going to the prom with the all-star quarterback. Maybe our makeover will be further along by the time her cute little sister finishes developing. Woo! Thoughts and prayers with the Nebraska fans there.
That was that felt oddly personal. That felt oddly personal from that guy.
A little unsettling, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but no, I mean, this look, it's Georgia doing what Georgia does. And again, showing their impressive national reach. That's big time again, and they're just a continuation of what they have been. But for Nebraska, yeah, this felt like a shot to maybe jumpstart or accelerate the rebuild, and they could not capitalize on the home field advantage, so to speak, there, the family ties. And I don't blame the fans for being hurt about that.
Yeah, Georgia's class is just absurd. They're actually ranked second, but it's just because of the number of commits behind Michigan. Michigan has 17 commits for the 2024 class, and Georgia has 12. Georgia has 5 5 stars committed. That is as many as Michigan, Ohio State, and Notre Dame have combined. Michigan, Ohio State, and Notre Dame are 1, 3, and 4 in the rankings. So they continue to rack up the rich, as they say, get richer. But this one had to really hurt the Cornhuskers with the connections and such. And, you know, Matt Rhule is trying to build something there, and it probably would have been nice to start building with a quarterback like that. But we talked about this before, and Rayola's from Arizona, right? Is it Arizona?
Yep. Yeah. Arizona. Yeah.
When I went out, you know, last year we were all there at the championship game in LA, and I remember writing a story. Georgia obviously won the championship and was there, and they had, during their media day, I think they had 9 players on Georgia's football team from the west of the Rockies, 9 or 10, something like that. And a lot of them were actually from California and from the LA area. I remember I interviewed almost all of them to ascertain from each, why did you go cross country to play football when you could have played right here in your backyard? In almost every single one of them, said the same thing, and it was the, you know, playing in an SEC kind of football crazed state, town, in conference, in stadium, and that's what they wanted. And you know, we see that more and more, and it's probably something that has hurt the Pac-12. I remember one of those kids was Brock Bowers, you know, the tight end at Georgia. And he said he went on a 6-school trip with his parents during his, like, junior year. He visited 3 Southern teams and 3 Midwest teams. I think he visited Notre Dame, Penn State, and Michigan in the north. And then south, he visited Georgia, where he ended up committing, of course, and Clemson, and maybe Alabama. And in his mom told me after the 6-school trip, he looked at his parents and said, yeah, I'm not going to school on the West Coast.
Right.
And I think we're seeing a lot of that.
Yep. I thought it'd be that barber shop inside the locker room with the money. That's the thing.
Waterfall.
It's not the waterfall. It's you tune. I don't blame anyone for wanting to go play at Georgia or the SEC or the schools you mentioned. That's who doesn't want to be part of that. The stadium sold out. The games are huge. The level of play, the guys you're surrounded with, the whole thing. And this is the battle for the Pac-12. You go to, you know, look, he's from Phoenix Pinnacle. He's probably 10 minutes from Arizona State. You go over there and they can't sell out their stadium, right?
Right.
So until you get that going, it's hard to say, hey, some guys are going to say, I want to be that guy. But it's a lot easier to say, I want to be part of that. Right. Mm-hmm. I want to be part of that. This looks unbelievable. I want to play these games. And so, sure, these kids are coming from the SEC on CBS was such an enormous promotional thing each week. And I'm sure it'll be similar on ABC and ESPN. I don't think it's going anywhere. But that one game every week just was such a well-branded, consistent presence. And yeah, I mean, this is where people, where do people win national championships? Right there. So I certainly don't blame him. You know, his father, Dom, was a center for the Detroit Lions, who was his quarterback. Matthew Stafford. Where Matthew Stafford go to school? Georgia. Probably didn't hurt. So, I mean, there's nothing. Here's my thing with Nebraska. This was a long shot. This was like, you know, win in on the flop and the bad poker hand. They lost Raiola because Scott Frost was losing, you know, and they didn't make a move sooner. If Matt Rhule is 2, 3, 4 years into this, if they're 9-3, they're 10-2, they're going to bowl games and they've built it up. Maybe it's a different ball game, but you're asking this kid to make a huge gamble on something because his dad went somewhere or his uncle, right?
Yeah.
How much do you love your dad? You know, you're really going to be like, hey, my uncle's a cool guy. I think I'll give up Georgia for that. Because they have the environment at Nebraska. They'll give him that. Yeah. And he'd be the hero. But at some point, you're like, I love my uncle. Good dude. But, you know, you guys stink. You know, these guys are winning. So I wouldn't take too much of it on Matt Rhule. I think that was a long shot recruit. They went all in. They tried, and they should have. It would have been great to get him, but I can't really pick too much out of this. And, man, when Georgia did not get a great quarterback last year, that just opens it up. I mean, that is just like, wait a minute. I don't have to walk in and beat out another 5-star who's 1 year ahead of me, which is usually how it is at these top programs. So I think that plays a role by, you know, for Dylan.
No doubt about it. Hopefully the Clearasil works for Nebraska and their acne clears up and they do well in the future.
They'll be all right. Interesting story here on AL.com. A fire was started inside a Dollar General store Monday in Pritchard, Alabama, which is just outside of Mobile. Mm-hmm. A fire started inside the general. It's a suspicious fire. Somebody set fire to the store's display of Alabama Crimson Tide gear.
Whoa.
War Eagle, huh?
Somebody went into the Dollar General and tried to light up the Alabama gear.
Wow.
A person set the Alabama apparel section on fire, according to this report. Fire has possibly been extinguished by employees. War Eagle, a tremendous sampling of social media by AL.com includes, quote, not all heroes wear capes for this guy torching the this is one of a good one. Somebody's wedding is ruined. Don't worry, they've got 346 more Dollar Generals in Mobile. this is AL.com making fun of themselves. What in the Harvey Updike is this?
I was going to say, this is the blue and orange Harvey Updike here.
Suspect
didn't kill
was
any
hurt.
Trees, but could have killed
too much
people.
Auburn in me. Too much Auburn, and then stop, drop, and roll Tide.
That's good.
I have questions. What kind of crap gear are you getting for a dollar? What exactly is the gear,
you know,
at the Dollar General of Alabama? I mean, I know it's like they have a blue-collar fan base, but a dollar? Yeah.
Not everybody can afford to go to the fancy place in Tuscaloosa and pay $120 for a jersey or whatever.
It's got to be a happy medium. Like, at least you hear about, like, in Michigan, they make fun of the fans didn't go there. Call them Walmart Wolverines. Like, but Dollar General.
There's a lot of Walmart Roll Tiders, I believe, as well.
I would think so.
Apparently a lot of Dollar General Roll Tiders.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Can you imagine being like, why in the middle of May are you all of a sudden so mad at Alabama?
That's
you
the
would
way
go
that,
down and commit arson inside a Dollar General to try to burn their gear. At least Harvey Updike went after the beloved trees at Auburn. Like, it total whack job, right? But it made some sense. What are you proving with this?
This is what the meth told the arsonist to do in that occasion, okay? The meth was talking here. I don't know.
The meth was talking.
Just go into a Dollar General, you get so mad at the sight of the Alabama gear. I'm going to light it on fire.
Did he bring his own stuff, or did he get like dollar bottle of like lighter fluid and one of those dollar matches or something, lighter, and just say, I'm going to burn the Alabama gear. I mean, people could die. Like, this guy should go away.
Yes,
he could be lighting inside the building of a store.
Yes.
Yes. Those shirts are so cheap, they didn't need much.
Dollar junk.
Producer Sean Anderson has heard from. Oh, goodness.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Tough.
We need more money. Better break up the league. That's Dollar General doesn't buy itself. I mean, has there ever been a sport with such a disparity? We're literally talking about like destroying 100-year business relationships for $20 million here and this, and then the fans are fighting over the display at the Dollar General.
Ah, yes, college sports.
The disparity of this.
It is.
Guys are building hotels for $1,000 rooms, and ADs are worried if they're going to keep their two country club memberships and their private jet time, and these guys are fighting it out at the Pritchard Dollar General.
Flame
your column. There's your column right there.
The hell is going on? All right. Final story.
That's a good
Daily
one.
Mail coming through with a great one. Well, People's Court, this, a driver in Colorado, might've been you, Pat. I think the guy who sent me this that was wondering if it was Pat. A driver in Colorado tried to avoid being arrested for a DUI by swapping seats with his dog after being pulled over. The man was stopped by police in Springfield, Colorado. Yeah, swapping seats with his dog. He got pulled over in Springfield, Colorado just before midnight Saturday, allegedly driving 52 and a 30. Springfield PD said they conducted a traffic stop on the vehicle. In a Facebook post, department said the driver attempted to switch places with his dog, who was in the passenger seat.
Unbelievable. Because that would be better.
As the
sir, your dog is driving. You let your dog drive.
At that point, drunk. I'd rather the drunk drive, I guess, than the dog.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, if we got if we have to, you know, pick an evil. If you put me in the back seat and say one of these two people have to drive the car and you have to sit there and die if they crash, I guess you take the drunk over the dog.
There are a few successful drunk drivers out there. Not that we're advocating it. There are no successful dog drivers. No successful dog drivers that I know of.
Definitely don't advocate having your dog drive the car.
No.
Definitely not. 100% fail rate on that. Just Uber, just walk. Anything's better than this. A driver attempted to switch place. The male party then exited the passenger side of the vehicle and claimed he was not driving to the police officer. You got to be the worst cop ever to fall for that. What did he think? The male party showed clear signs of intoxication, and when asked about his alcohol consumption, the male party ran from the officer. He was quickly apprehended within 20 yards of the vehicle. Now, the dog could probably have gotten away.
Yeah.
It's like a greyhound.
I hope the dog did get away from the owner.
Yeah.
The dog was given to an acquaintance of the driver to take care of while the party was in jail. Oh, the cops. The dog does not face any charges and was let go with just a warning. All right. Pat?
Yes.
Genius, or does he deserve extra charges for dragging the and why do we not have body cam on this? I mean, yeah, this is the body
we do need body cam.
I need body cam.
Amazing footage.
Well, amazing. I have to say, I'd never heard of Springfield, Colorado, and there's good reason. I just looked it up. It is down there. It is the southeast corner of the state, kind of near where Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico come together, near Walsh, Colorado. So whatever goes on down there, this is what you get. But look, if you are so cold busted, if you've got absolutely no chance, you've been pulled over, you are drunk, and you are driving, you throw the Hail Mary. You try it, man. You move the dog over. You see if maybe creativity gets you off, or, you know, the cop really is the dumbest human being on earth and says, oh, okay, we'll just charge the dog. You try it. What the hell? You got nothing else. He lost. So I will give him at least points for effort. Effort.
What an idiot. I mean, really. I mean, what an idiot. I wonder how hammered would they test his blood alcohol? How hammered was this guy? Yeah, Daily Mail. No reporting on the Daily Mail on the blood alcohol.
No, the Daily Mail did call the police. They're saying they're not releasing the footage.
That's a shame.
Why not? It's public. Boo. It's public.
The phone call from the London Daily Mail to the Baca County, Colorado Sheriff Department. This must have been priceless.
Oh, yeah. You know, they're howling at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
London papers.
Yeah. Howling. Good one, Dan.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Bada-bum.
Do you give the dog like the field sobriety? What?
Bark the numbers backwards or the alphabet backward.
Yeah. We had a story of a guy who had I can't remember now. Maybe conflating two stories. Someone used their dog as the HOV lane and got caught.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. We did have that story.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
They had their dog, right? And then the guy got busted, and the reporter found the sister, and the sister's like, I told him that wasn't going to work, and eventually it didn't. He got busted, got a ticket for using a dog as the HOV.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry hires the escort so he could get get to the Dodgers game on time. The HOV lane. It's better than missing the game. So good. Yeah, I don't know. I wish we had I want more.
Yeah. Hopefully this is a Daily Mail like series.
I mean, the cop had to have been like calling on like his sergeant, like, yeah, you're not gonna believe this one.
Yeah, right.
He got out of the passenger side and tried to claim that the dog had been driving. I wasn't driving the car. Well, that would require Rover here using the gas and brake pedals.
Oh my God.
And understanding how cars work. Usually dogs are getting run over by cars, not driving them.
What kind of dog? It couldn't have been one of those like Paris Hilton dogs.
I have to say, look, the Daily Mail's kind of dropped the ball on this. We need more info.
But that would be so great if it was like a Paris Hilton, tiny little chihuahua sitting in the seat. My passenger, officer.
All right. Everybody, I want you all to have a good weekend. No, don't drink and drive. Don't drink and drive with your dog. Don't drink and drive anywhere. Don't light any Dollar Generals on fire because you're mad the Crimson Tide in the middle of May. They ain't done nothing lately. Hell, they ain't even got a quarterback. What are you mad at them? We're losing our marbles around here.
Ain't
Carolina's ready to stab Duke in the back. Like, what is wrong with you people?
Everybody get your marbles back by next week.
Get your crap together, college sports and America at large. All right. Keep subscribing. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. It's especially now of all times of the year. And we will we'll talk to you next week. We know something's going to happen. So come back then. Talk to you later.